What do CEOs need to know about sales these days? A lot. Outdated sales strategies and tactics plague most companies today. Listen to what innovative CEOs and experts have to say about how to change all that with Sales Talk for CEOs. Welcome to Sales Talk for CEOs. Today, we're going to talk to a founder who, with her co-founder, created a category. So all of you CEOs out there that are in my world of tech and SaaS and innovation who need to do more demand gen and need to do more brand awareness, this is going to be very interesting to you because the way you're doing marketing now might change after you hear this. A lot of us have a couple internal people who help us with marketing, and sometimes we have outside agencies. But my guest today says the model is broken and we have created a category to fix it. So I'm so excited to have Brittany on today. She is the co-founder of Sorian. I met her at Saster in May and we were just so excited and had so much to talk about. I said, you have to come on the show. So welcome, Brittany.
Thank you, Alice. It's so good to see you again. I know it's been a few months, but I'm excited to pick up the conversation from where we left off.
Absolutely. All right. So let's just start before we rewind to tell the whole story. Let's start with what does Sorian do and who do they do it for?
Yeah. So Sorian Digital, we're an AI-powered digital marketing agency. So we serve the SaaS and technology space, really that startup 5 to 50 million in AAR. And we specialize in digital marketing. Now, our model is different because we've broken the agency model. We are an AI-powered digital marketing agency with the combination of human expertise to deliver stronger results faster and at a lower price.
Wow. Well, that is something that we all want. So we're going to hear some more about that in a minute. But let's rewind. Now, when I met you at Saster, you guys were fresh. I mean, you had just launched in February and you actually spun out of another company. So what were you and your co-founder doing right before this? And how did you get the idea that this is a business? We're going to go do this. This is going to work.
It's been a wild ride. Yeah. So we launched in February. So just a few months before we saw you at Saster. And what we were really doing is we were trying to understand AI's here. And we see this tidal wave coming. It's going to completely disrupt marketing, but it's really going to disrupt the agency model too. And as you start to peel back all the layers, you start to see like the agency model is broken. Like, agencies have been around for over 150 years, but if you really dug into it, the model hasn't changed. You pay your hourly rate, you have your layered teams, you have your long cycles, like from all the way from first print ads to digital today, the model has stayed the same. And so we started to look at it and think about like, well, what if we did this different? And so we were able to create AI agents, training it on how to do digital marketing, training it on RIP to say, all right, can it run the full process? And the results were there.
So you were working an agency model when you thought about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And were you guys like just sitting around having a couple drinks going, wait a minute, is there a better way?
I mean, I've been in marketing and technology my entire career. And so it was really just this intersection. I like to tell this story. I was on family vacation. I'm sitting in Florida. My two kids are running around. I have little kids, so they're running around like crazy. And I was just like staring at the beach. I'm like, what could be different? Like, how could I think about this as a different way? And it was just my two passions coming together. Technology, so AI, coding, you know, brushing that off, really thinking about how AI agents were going to be come to be with marketing, my second passion, and how those two combined. And so I started sketching in my notebook and my little blue notebook started to become a reality and Sorian Digital was born.
Wow. Really future forward thinking. I love that. And I like that you said you were sitting on the beach doing it because I think one of the things as founders and, you know, CEOs, busy C-level leaders, we don't really have enough time, or shall I say, we don't give ourselves enough time to just sit and stare into the sea or stare into the nature, whatever, wherever we are, the forest, and think about the future. And, you know, instead of building on the past and what was, think about what if I did it completely differently? What would it be like? And you know, what was fun when we were at Sasser, that was what Jason Lemkin was saying. He's like, okay, while your team is continuing on doing what you do so you can make money every day, somebody has to sit around and say, if we built this now today from scratch, what would we have built? Mm-hmm. Not what, because what we built is what we built and it's there. But now knowing what we know and having AI, what would we build today? Those conversations are so powerful. And I don't think enough CEOs are having them with their teams. And we've really got to impress that on people. All right. So you were doing this very future forward thinking on the beach while your kids were running around driving you crazy. But somehow you tuned it all out and zoned in and got some notes down and then kept thinking and thinking. Now tell us how your co-founder fit into this and how you talked your co-founder into, you know, launching something.
Yes, I worked with my co-founder, Steve, for over 10 years. So we have a close relationship. As I started to sketch it out, it just became clear. It was like, okay, here's the path. Here's the pilot. So we launched it as a pilot. Like, let's go see if we can get these results that are like dreaming up in Brittany's head right now. And the results happened. And so as soon as you saw it.
Who was your first guinea pig? Did you run it on yourself or who?
Yeah, my fake client. ChatGPT gave me a fake client. you know, when you have such a futuristic idea, you have to play in the safety of that. But yeah, I like to tell the story of, so my husband's in IT auditing. So I'm like, here, watch this. And I would like run it. And he would typically ask me lots of questions. He's like, do it again. So I did it again. And I did it one more time. And he's like, Britt, you have something. Like, you got to go. You just got to run. And that's why I look at it as like, even as Steve and I started to launch this, of we are so far ahead, but we see the tidal wave coming. And so we're running out and we're surfing that tidal wave while a lot of companies are still on the beach looking at it going, I don't know if that's going to hit. Or some are running to the hills and they're like, I don't want anything to do with this. I'm a little crazy enough that I'm going to go run towards the tidal wave and I'm going to ride it.
I love it. I love it. All right. So there came a point where you said, okay, so this model works. We've tested it out on our ChatGPT made up client. And then all right, what did you do next? And how did you guys get your first real customers?
Yeah, so then we launched a market. We were able to run it across multiple clients. And as we brought in real clients and we started to run it, the results just continued to prove itself. What really happened as we launched into market too, we started talking to people about our model. Because being an AI-powered digital marketing agency, you know, we're breaking into a very noisy market. Where agencies would say, I'm using AI. And I'd be like, but they're not. They're not using it the way that you could be using
it. They're not using strategically. They're using it to help them write. And they're using it to help them come up with ideas and to write the posts and things like that. But you're talking about using it at a strategic level.
Using it at a strategic level that operationally speeds you up. Right. So our AI agents, they're running all of these manual tasks that would take a human 20, 30 hours to go do research on. We can do that in minutes. Or we can take all this data. We can take 150 Google ad campaigns that have been running that honestly, a human just can't pay attention to 150 campaigns. We're human. That's okay. Right. We have other strengths. But the AI agents can analyze it like this and say, you're wasting 20% of your budget. Stop. Like, don't run those campaigns. And so as we started to get these learnings and sharing them with prospective clients and now current clients, the results were, sometimes people would say it seems too good to be true until we start running it and they see the results and they're like, oh my gosh, I just had a 32% increase in my conversions. And we're
right.
Like,
so not only are you saving them money, but you're also increasing their conversions. So their sales is going to go up. It's like, oh my gosh, it does seem too good to be true. Honestly,
it really does. I mean, that's the hardest part of our sales process is, you know, sometimes you're telling these and we'll show the case studies where people are like, wow. Oh. Or why aren't other agencies doing it? It's simple. It's because their model is just so tangled and it's so hard to unwind that.
And so that's where Sorian too. Yeah.
Yeah. And Sorian Digital, we're building from the ground up on how the new model should be and creating that new category that we can run a lot faster this way.
So it seems like you had a few clients that you ran through this before you actually spun yourselves out. Is that right?
Yeah, this is something that we had been running for like over a year at that point.
So you felt really confident about it. And then you got to that point where like, okay, this is a real business and needs to stand on its own 2 feet. We're going to spin it out. And so how did you get the first customers then? So you obviously knew the people that you were running through this, right? You knew those companies. So they already knew you. They trusted you. They took a chance, right? And now you're like, okay, open wide the doors for new clients. And so you and I were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
You guys used your networks. Tell us about how you built this.
Right. I think that's probably been one of the big lessons being a founder of a new company is your network's there. Rely on your network. I reached out, you know, via LinkedIn, through text messages, emails to people who have spanned my career. And I was really blown away. And so was my co-founder. Like, we were blown away how people are like, I've been watching your story. Like, I'm excited to talk to you about it. And so, you know, there was a contact. I hadn't talked to him in 10 years. Send him a LinkedIn message. We're on the phone next week. It's like we just picked up where we left off. And really, those networks now have become clients and they've told their networks. And so we just continue to really like foster those relationships with them because your network might be this big, but then when you start adding on their networks and expanding, we're just starting to see so many different intro conversations and expansion.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. And I think it's so important what you're saying about leveraging your network. Don't be afraid. Call people and say, hey, what are you up to? Here's what we're up to. And if they're active on LinkedIn, they're seeing your story. Like you said, they're seeing your story. Mm-hmm. Oh, we built this thing. It's kind of a new category. And I think that does make it a little bit harder when you're really starting a new category because people are like, well, what is it? Well, like, how is that different? Is it really different? Everybody says they use AI. Like you mentioned earlier, all agencies say they use AI. Well, I've actually had clients who've told their agency, do not use AI. And I'm like, oh, don't tell them that. That's probably not, you might want to say how you would like it used or something, but look, I mean, it's just not reality today. So you're tapping your network and talking to people. Mm-hmm. How did you find you and your co-founder were first explaining to them like what this is and how it is actually different?
Yeah, it was a message that we had to honestly play with quite a bit. But as we started to tell the story of, listen, today's agency model is broken. Here's why, right? It's bloated. It's expensive. We're stuck in the hourly rate. Like we break it down in a simple pie chart where we show how today's agencies are spending their time versus how we spend our time. A lot of agencies, right? I got to go talk to this person to talk to this person to talk to this person. Oh my gosh. Hours.
And it's plus so they can't pivot quickly and it takes so long. It's like, no, we just need these posts up. Well, we got to go talk to all these people. I deal with this all the time. And I'm just like, no, just like get it done.
Just get it done. Yeah. I mean, that's what we see, right? So on average, here's a fun stat for you. On average, like a Google Ads campaign takes 15 to 20 days to get live with a current agency model. We do it in 3 days. And those 3 days are with the client reviewing and approving it. So it's just, you can see like how much leak you can have in your pipeline. If you're waiting 20 days, you're just waiting to get into market on a new product or whatever that campaign is. Like you're just burning that where you could get into market faster by using the new model. So,
and things are changing so fast. And you mentioned like the AI model you have can analyze all of this stuff really quickly and say, stop doing that and start doing this. Right. And yes, the humans are still involved. But
Absolutely. It's
giving you data you didn't have. And the amount of money that is wasted because people are not paying attention to their paid ads and really whether they're producing anything or not, whether they're through social media or Google or whatever, they're just not paying attention and they're spending money when they're not getting any return. I'm like, well, how long has it been that this ad campaign hasn't given you any returns? And then we go back to the analytics and look, and I'm not a marketing person. I just need more leads. So my salespeople more conversations. Like, I'm your sales advisor. I am your sales strategist. And what I know is you're not going to grow if your salespeople don't have more conversations. So what are you doing to get it for them, right? So I'm asking them, look at these stats. Is this working or is it not? Stop spending money if it's not working. But they wait way too long because they don't have the data. So I think that's a really, really important thing. All right. So you guys are growing this. You're having to explain because you're having to educate people on something they don't really know or understand. And you had to tweak it a few times. Imagine that, right? And what was it that really stuck when you guys go, that's it. That's what we're going to tell people. That's how we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. Honestly, it was being bold and not being afraid to say today's agency model is broken. I spent so many nights just like circling on this. Like, I knew
you
that.
You don't want to diss all your friends, right? You got all these friends in agencies and you don't want to diss them all. But
it's a space I spent most of my career in. So to say that, I did have this like, oh, I don't want to hurt any feelings. But like, I knew in my core, that's why I started Sorian. I saw that today's agency model was broken. And that there was a better way for SaaS and technology marketers specifically to be doing marketing.
Especially in the size category that you and I sell to, we have the same exact target market. So I feel their pain because I'm with them and they're telling me how much these agencies are charging them, which get it, the agency has to make money, but they are people heavy. And so it's a lot, right? And what they're getting back for that spend, it's too much for a small company. They just simply can't afford it. They need more for that same amount of money. And that is now what you're providing to them.
Exactly. Exactly. And we can plug in to these companies and now you have a full digital marketing team. So you don't have to go add additional headcount. You don't have to, as a founder or CEO, suddenly be this marketing genius who's trying to help a junior level marketer or whoever, a contractor out of a garage, go do your marketing for you. So you can get the full power of a marketing agency, but with us being AI powered, we plug right in. We can help with all of your digital marketing services. And that's where we're really seeing clients lean in on this is, oh, well, I had a person and a half focused on marketing. Now I can take that time and have them work on other priorities where they as a person have stronger skills in any ways. And now you can go handle that for me.
Yeah, they can focus on your events and on, you know, helping like, you know, kind of in market type of marketing and field marketing, we used to call it. I don't know what they call it these days, but, you know, get with the salespeople and really figure out how they can make an impact, right? Their time is freed up to be more strategic and more creative.
Exactly. Exactly. And really lean into what that person's strengths are too. Like I have a client, they're like, hey, my strengths are more in like IT and coding and tech. It's like, great. You go focus on that. We got the digital marketing piece for you. And so this is just like where that AI powered model really plugs in nicely, where if you follow that traditional agency model of today, it doesn't fit. It doesn't work for you.
Yeah, no. And especially not for these AI forward companies. I just don't think the traditional model is going to work at all. All right. So you're out there now. Look, we started in February, haven't even been a year, but you two have been working your network and then working the networks of the people who are in your network, which
it's
I love.
It's like a spider web that just
so,
like takes
so smart,
off.
Yeah. Right? So, so smart. And you finally got it down. It's like, it just had to be bold and say, the model's broken. We're creating a new category. Here's what we're doing. And people are like, yes, this is fantastic. So you've been growing and growing. Now tell us about what your sales organization looks like now. Is it still the two of you? Are you starting to think about how do we add people to help us grow even more? Or have you maybe given yourself some support so that you can continue doing the selling?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting timing. So we're still founder-led sales right now. But in the next couple of months, we are going to be building out our sales organization because we're seeing in scale mode, right? As any startup, you lead with your founder-led sales because who better to tell the story and the why than us who saw the pain, the gap, and the strategy. So now we're getting to the point where it's like, we're ready to scale even more and we need that sales organization. Now, one of the things that we're really focused on in conversations now, frankly, is like, we don't want this to be like a headcount game, right? You think about the old sales model, right? Like, okay, well, if I hire 5 salespeople, then I'll get 5X.
No,
that's BS, right? That's not true.
And oh, so no, that math really never works. And Brittany, to be honest with you, it never worked even way back. It's never worked. That math just doesn't work.
I agree. So really we're focused on, all right, who can understand this industry and break through the noise with us, really tell the story, fill that gap and sell into the, you know, problem and value that we have. So yes. Yeah, the next couple of months we'll be making that shift from founder to full sales org.
All right. Pick me. I'll help you.
I'd probably be calling you out.
It's like my favorite thing to do, right? Okay. So also I need to introduce you to Wesley, who I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago. I think his podcast just came out. So look for that. Okay. I'll send you the link or whatever, but he did something very similar and he is in the marketing world also, but in specifically in pharmaceuticals. And he was in that and then left it because he was like, this is awful the way we do this. I don't like it anymore. So he went into auto sales marketing, right? Like,
what a shift.
Right? I'm like, whatever possessed you. But he's like, I just wanted something completely different. And what was so great about it is he saw marketing from a completely different perspective, from a storytelling perspective, from a customer perspective. And then he was like, why couldn't we do pharma like this? So he went back to doing pharma and started his own agency. And he does not have a traditional sales model at all. And he's doing most of the sales through his network, but then he has strategic advisors that, you know, yes, of course, part of their job is sales, but they're taking these companies and guiding them through. And I mean, his customer retention is remarkable. So you'll have to listen to that podcast. And I think you'll really love some of what he's done can absolutely help you as well with building this out. But I love that you're staying with founder led right now. And even as you move into having some people help you help your customers, whatever that ends up looking like, right? You know, you're moving into it thoughtfully and you'll still be involved. And that absolutely makes all the difference, yeah, right? The big founder mistake is, oh, I'm going to hire a salesperson so I can get out of sales. They're going to do it all. But I have no process or systems in place. So when I hire them, I don't know what they're going to do. I think, you know, somehow salespeople can magically just pull leads out of the air. You know,
you can't do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe I can, but, you know, most people can't. So anyway, all right. So you're going and growing. It's so exciting. Tell us what some of the things are that you are looking forward to next for your company.
Yeah. I mean, we are in full scale mode. So life is a roller coaster right now. but I'm excited about this roller coaster. So I don't live in this world of sunshine and daisies. Like, I know that I'm going to have a dip, right? And then I'll come back up. But I'm just really excited to see how we're growing. A few different reasons, right? Like, one, to start your own company and see it grow. I compare to like watching my children grow. Like, there's such an immense like amount of pride there. But then also just AI is changing. It's like changing every hour. Who knows what happened while we were talking, right? And so I love the challenge of that. And Sorian Digital is really focused on staying on top. I mean, AI search is the Wild West right now. And we are conquering that. We see how consumer behavior is changing. We see how marketing has to change with the consumer behavior. First time ever, Google's losing market share because people are searching in AI, in LLMs, right? And the newest stat came out, it was like a SEMrush article came out, and they said a click from an LLM, so AI search, to your site has a 4X likelihood to convert than any other click. And you start to think about it and you're like, well, duh, because they're going through the sales cycle themselves. They're going through the discovery. And so they are already qualifying themselves by the time they get to your site. And so I'm just really excited for Sorian Digital as we're really focused on, this is a whole new part of digital marketing that didn't exist a year ago.
Right.
That now has such a huge opportunity to help, you know, prospects, customers, clients, whoever you want to call them, start to really focus on like being in front of consumers where they're searching for you.
Yeah. And I just want to kind of repeat this for all the CEOs listening. AI search. if you are not on top of that, if your marketing people, your agency is not on top of that, one, Google search SEO has changed so much. If you don't have somebody who is on top of that and knowing the newest, latest, and greatest, your web traffic has probably slowed tremendously, right? But now, and what Brittany is saying is so important, that AI search is the winner. You may get 10 people popping onto your site from the SEO you're doing through Google, and maybe one of them will be interested or fill out a form or something like that. But when it comes from AI, they're four times more likely, right? So now you don't need 10, right? One in four that comes from LLM is probably going to be your customer. So this is imperative. You need to go check immediately with your marketing team and your marketing agency. Are they optimizing for AI search?
I love it, Alice. And I would just add one more thing there is, if you are a small company and you think, I've always struggled to compete with the big guys, my big competitors that I'm trying to take out, look at AI search. Yes. Big companies cannot shift fast enough to get the type of content that is required for AI search. Right. So you, no matter how small or big your company, you can start to really nip at the heels and establish yourself within AI search before the big guys can even turn around and start adjusting their content.
Do it now.
Do it now.
So I just, before we kind of get to the end here, I want to go back to something you said earlier. You know, you are really immersed in your company as a female CEO. You are also juggling a family, which you mentioned several times. How is that going? How is that balance working for you?
Yeah, it's a full plate. It's honestly a full plate. You know, one of the things that I'm really, you know, grateful for is I have a full team around me who encourages me to be both mom and CEO. So I've made a decision for myself. I get my son off the bus every day at 4 o'clock, and I can adjust my calendar that way. Now, am I working extremely late nights? Yes, I'm working extremely late nights, but I make the time to spend with my family. And I just know that the both of them really fuel me. And so is it a balancing act? 100%. But you know, one of the things going into this is you'll often hear like, oh, well, women have to pick. You got to choose. Like, you either have a family or you can have a business. And that's not true. It's about the decisions that you make and how you prioritize your time, because you can have both. It just requires you to prioritize and make those adjustments in your schedule.
Yeah. And you have to surround yourself with people who support you in doing it. If you've got a bunch of naysayers, of course, it's not going to work. If you've got a team in your company that can pick up for you when you need to be gone, and they can cover for you and you can cover for them, great. And then same in the family. If you have, you know, grandparents or aunties or even just friends, you know, spouses that are all supportive and they've got your back, right? Then you can do it. And of course, for those of us who can, we can hire a little bit of help here and there, which makes a huge difference. But we absolutely can do it. Is it harder? Yes, it is.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Juggling all of that is, you know, it's a lot and it keeps your brain busy, but it's good. And hopefully, you know, you get your moments where you get a little downtime too. But I always tell the CEOs, the female CEOs that I work with, because I did this too. I founded a company, started up when my kid was young, and my mom luckily helped me a lot. But if with your kids, if when you're with them, you give them your undivided attention, you're not distracted by your phone or your computer, you're just with them.
Yep.
That's what they remember. They don't remember that you had to, you know, fly somewhere. Like, my son remembers none of that, because when I was with him, I was with him. I gave him my undivided attention. We had a great time. When I wasn't with him, he had loving people around him who gave their undivided attention. Right. And then when you have to be away, you have to be away. And so I think we just need to think about things a little differently, right? Maybe we can't do it the old way. And certainly if we're not a full-time mom, we can't do it that way. Just like you innovated in your new category, we have to innovate as women who want to be founders and CEOs and drive revenue of companies.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to grab this. I'll show you what I stare at when I'm working at my desk. I make them part of my company. I want them to see how you're growing. So like, my son drew this logo for me, right? And so I look at it every day, and he'll tell you, you know, my mom runs an AI company, and I help her with it. And because he really thinks he's part of it. He understands what we're doing. And my husband's super supportive of like, okay, who's taking who where, right? But you know, it's things like this that remind me too, of like, this is why I'm doing it, because, you know, I want, you know, my son and daughter, when they're older, to be like, oh, I remember mom. Yeah. She was always there for me, but also look at what was built during that time. So it takes both. It's hard. It's definitely hard.
When they get older and they have lots of activities, that makes it even harder. But again, that's where the help comes in for sure. Oh my gosh. All right. So just before we go today, I've got three questions for you.
Sure.
And the first one is, what is a book that you think every CEO should read?
Oh my gosh. So my favorite book is Multipliers by Liz Weissman. So this is one that I've just gone back to in my career so many different times. Each chapter, I go back to Multipliers to remind myself that like it's about leaning into other skills and multiplying their strengths to scale the organization. It's not all on me. And if I think that I can do it all, I'm fooling myself, right? And so this is something I've used my entire career. And as I was starting Sorian, I went back to Multipliers. I read it again. And it's just such a nice like reminder for myself.
Oh my gosh, that is a great book. Excellent. And tell me about a podcast that you listen to because it makes you think differently.
This might be a unique one. So I love Business Wars. Have you listened to this one?
I haven't. I'm
going to have to. Oh my gosh. I'm driving my family nuts about it right now because I'm so obsessed with this podcast. So they take two businesses and they'll look at them and show like how they were founded and then how they've been competing against each other and the unique ways that they've been competing. So like one example of like 7-Eleven, they talk about how they started off serving ice blocks and they saw that there was this need in the market to start having convenience. And they really started the convenience store. Yeah. And it just, I listen to podcasts like that and I'm like, that's what we're doing for Sorian. Like we see how this model is changing. We don't need ice blocks anymore. We have refrigerators. People need convenience. We don't need this old model. There's AI. And so it just really challenges me to one, learn from the past and others who've been successful, but it also just gives me this like new perspective to think differently and like really learn. So
yeah,
it's a unique one.
I love that. And I will definitely put it on my list. All right. Last question. What do CEOs need to know to win in this market?
You've hit on it like multiple times. It's everything's changing and it's changing so fast. It's so fast. And you can get caught up in all the change that's happening and think like, I got to do this. At the end of the day, the traditional principles are still so true. Like we're still humans. We still love connection.
Yeah.
We are going to change. But when you get back to the basics, like I think about advertising, people have been advertising since they were like sketching thing on vases, right? All the way into like print to now digital, like things have changed, but people were still want the community. We still want the connection. And so don't forget about those principles. You could really get caught up in like, what's next. And you'll drive yourself crazy doing that.
Yeah. Yes. Some principles have not changed at all. And the way humans think and make decisions has not changed. Now, their behavior around that has changed, but the way it happens hasn't changed. So that's why we have to adapt, right? And adopt new things and be forward thinking and thinking about not just what is going to keep our company afloat today, but 3, 5, 10 years from now, will we still be here selling the same thing? Right?
Yeah.
We've got to start thinking about it or we won't be. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
I love it. Thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure. So great to get reconnected with you. Thank you for sharing your journey. You're so young still. You know, it's wonderful that this company is not even a year old yet. So we're going to have big celebration in February.
Yeah. I'll be back next year to tell you where we're at next.
Exactly. And then we'll have you back next year and we'll talk about it again. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Alice. It was so good to connect with you again.
If you enjoyed the show, please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.